Can you say amen to that this morning? Amen. I'm so glad that God gives us second, third, fourth chances. I'm glad that God doesn't always just listen to when we're crying out and saying things that really we don't mean, but we're caught up in the moment, that he sees the heart and that he wants to minister to us. You say amen to that? I believe the Lord is speaking to us this morning about getting some of the things out of our lives that are destructive. And I believe that if you have a heart that's open, that he has something to say to each and every one of us this morning. Amen? Would you bow your head? Father, we already realize that, Lord God, you've already been speaking to us through our time of prayer, through our time of worship, through our time of just taking a moment and meditating upon you and trying to set aside the things that need to be done later this afternoon and the week coming ahead, but that just for this time, we center in on what you want to say to us, that we center in on being focused, allowing you, Lord God, to minister. As we go to your word now, I'm asking, Lord God, that we first of all would realize that we are in a spiritual battle. And we need you, Lord God, to fight our battle, to go before us, to give us the strength to endure, to be those soldiers that you've called us to be. And Lord God, that at times is admitting where we fall short, that at times is admitting, Lord God, that we can't do these things in ourselves. And Lord God, that today you would speak to each and every one of us in a very special way. And we'll give you honor, we'll give you praise, and we'll come with a heart of expectation, ready to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 6, and then if you'd put your finger in maybe Luke 11, we're going to be looking at a few verses in Luke 11. You know, last week I shared a text from Matthew 5, and I said it in the Message Bible, and I can't quite get that out of my head. I was never a real big fan of the Message Bible, but you know what? God has a sense of humor. The last several weeks, the Lord has shown me verses from the Message Bible that have been close to the heart. And like I said, last week, Matthew 5 talks about desiring us to climb to a higher level and climbing for having a better commitment in our lives, seeing God do some greater things in our lives, and I just can't get past. Wouldn't that be a good journey? Wouldn't that be a walk worthwhile to where God wants us to go to a higher level? And Matthew 5 says it this way, and I'll repeat it again as we move into today's message. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. I'm asking you this morning, would you be willing to climb with Jesus? Would you allow him to take you to that higher level? Because this morning I want to talk about spiritual warfare and address some of the strongholds that are in our lives, to address some of the strongholds that I believe if you look strong enough and be sensitive to, you'll see that there is a lot of things holding us down. There's a lot of things that we struggle with, and I want you to know that as soon as you start talking about spiritual warfare and you start talking about having to do battle to make it through the day, a lot of people tune out. They just don't want to talk about that because so many people are so content on, I believe, living short of where God wants you to be, because that the the fear of doing battle, the fear of God taking you to that higher level, the fear that God wants us to live in that abundant life, sometimes are causing people who are not willing to exert the energy, to admit that they have faults, to want to go to that next level, struggle and stay where they're at. And I believe God wants to bring us to that higher level. We're trying to do godly things in our human strength. Amen? And we miss out. We're trying to do things outside of our talent realm in our own strength, and it's not working. We are living below where the Lord intends for us because we're not willing to let go of some of the things that we need to let go of. There are strongholds that the Lord wants out of our lives, and he wants to break us free of that, but first we have to let go of them, amen? Corrie Ten Boom says, you know, that it's better that if we let these things go to the Lord than having the Lord have to peel our hands open to let go of these things. So if that's where you're at this morning, then I'm praying that whatever that stronghold is, whatever that thing or trouble or struggle or whatever you want to call it, that's keeping you from being where God wants you to be this morning, I'm asking you that you would have enough strength in the Lord to open your hand and allow him to do that. See, if you were a man or woman of God that came here this morning and you're seeking the Lord and you want him to do these great things and this morning the message would get a hold of your heart and you were willing to let go of those things, that would be one thing. But if you are here this morning and there are certain areas of your life where that, you know, it's a closet door and you're not willing to open it and you've opened it before and maybe you've been burned and that's the door that the Lord is wanting to open this morning, then, you know, when the message comes, that's where you're going to either clench your fist and close it up or you're going to allow him to do that. And this morning, that's right where the church at Corinth was at. God was trying to do a new thing. God was using the Apostle Paul to come in and want to make these changes and you know, they had a choice whether they were going to allow God to do that or not do it. And you have to make that decision this morning too. So if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, looking at verses 1 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I'm away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. The Apostle Paul comes to the church of Corinth with the authority of being an apostle, but also wanting to come with the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus. But you've got to understand something here. When you talk about the meekness, it's talking about humility. He's not talking about wavering in his faith. He's not talking about not doing what he's supposed to do. He's talking about being meek and humble. And he's talking about being gentle, but in the way of Jesus, not candy coating. And then he's saying, I, Paul, come to you and hoping that I don't have to be as bold as I think I will be because you're going to fight me on it, but I come with that humbleness and that meekness and the gentleness of Jesus, still trying to come to bring you the message that God has laid on his heart. And if you think these days are any different than the days we live in, you're sadly mistaken, because we live in those days where we need to bring the message of Christ, but we need to bring it in the humbleness and the gentleness of Jesus, meaning that sometimes we don't have to beat them up with the Bible. We need to love them like Jesus would love them. Love them into the correction of doing the things that are needed. He says, though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. So what does he mean by that? What is he trying to tell us when he's saying this and telling us that there's a separation? Well, he's telling us that there's two kingdoms. It's very obvious. There's two kingdoms. Satan in the heavenly kingdom tried to take God over, and God threw him out. So we don't have to understand and think that, you know, there's really a battle between God and Satan. Satan has lost that battle. Amen? He has lost that battle. He's been thrown out of heaven, and he's been cast down here. And ever since the fall, ever since God took authority over that, there has been a battle. And Satan has set out to destroy not only the things of God, but the people of God. And that one, since the fall of man, Satan has tried to deceive, Satan has tried to lie, Satan has tried to interfere with our relationship with God. And then ever since, you have become a believer, which is a reversal of the fall, and back in a right relationship with God, ever since that, he has tried to cause us to stumble. He has tried to cause us to walk away from the things of God. And he not only hates God, but he hates God's people. Say amen to that. That's not my words, that's God's words. That's the word of God. And some will say, well, I don't want to believe that. But that's God's word, because some people would rather believe that God is a God that loves everyone and everything's good and there's nobody really after you and there's no spiritual battle and all these things. Well, that would be nice, but that's not what the word of God is saying to us. Because we can look in Jesus, what they call in John 17 is Jesus' priestly prayer. When you look at that portion of Scripture, here's Jesus talking to the Heavenly Father. He says this, my prayer is that you not take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So there's definitely a spiritual battle going on. There's definitely a need for the Lord to intervene in our lives. We have to live in this world, but as believers, we really have no more part of this world thinking. Amen. Say amen. That we are to be different. We are to be under the captivity of Christ. We are to have the mindset of Christ. Our actions and our thoughts should match those of Jesus Christ. Meaning that anything that doesn't match up with the things of Christ should be things that we want out of our lives. You hearing me this morning? Here's where the vice gets just a little bit tighter. Because as you believe that, then that means the Lord is wanting to take things out of our lives, to eliminate things out of our lives. We have Satan trying to trip us up. We have our own fleshly desires trying to cause us to flare and walk away from the things of God, and all of the things going on in the world that would cause us to lose focus. How many know it's not hard to lose focus on the things of God because of what we're going through every day in our lives? We can blame the devil for a lot of things, but there are some things that we go through is because we have selfish motives that God is wanting to get out of our lives. I didn't hear any amens, but there should be some amens there. These are some of the strongholds that Jesus desires to get out of our lives. So very quickly, what do I want you to see in these verses? I want you to see that you need to be able to define what a stronghold is. That you need to be able to identify the strongholds that you have in your own life. And that you would allow the Lord to pull down. The scriptures say to pull down those strongholds that are destructive in your life. That you would allow God to build up the strongholds that he puts there. Can you say amen to that? Because in the same sense that God tells about things that we need to pull down, the strongholds out of our life, there are some strongholds, God says, we need in our lives. It's kind of the Psalms and where Jesus is talking about that we're in the cleft of the rock and the Lord passes by and all the, we're in a safe place. Those are strongholds that we need to get into our lives. So what is a destructive stronghold? Wow, this is going to be amazing. You're not going to believe that. I went to college for this. But a stronghold is something that has a stronghold on you. How can I make it any easier than that? A stronghold is something that holds you and is destructive in your life and is not part of the things of God. It's a struggle with the enemy. It's a fleshly desire that goes against the things of God. A stronghold is a mindset that takes you away from God. You know that today the biggest problem inside the church universal is that we have not the mindset of Christ. We have the mindset still of the world in a lot of areas of our lives. And the Lord is trying to get us out of that. Strongholds are lies that we believe are truth. Strongholds are lies that keep us from the truth. A stronghold is a mindset or a thought process, a value system that hinders our life. Put very simple again, because I'm a simple guy. Anything that competes with Jesus is a stronghold. Somebody. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. See, I'm amazed when I look at some of these scriptures. Jesus knew that the crowd, when he was going around and he began doing healings, and that they did not understand what was happening when he began to cast demons out. And people began to see people healed. In fact, that there were people in the crowd that even thought that he was healing by demonic actions. If you look at Luke chapter 11, if you turn there real quick, Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 17. Jesus' words. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them this, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do you and your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers me, takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then he says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. We can see there are a lot of things that are strongholds. We can see there's a need for the Lord to be involved in our lives. When we talk about spiritual warfare and people tune out, they're missing out what God wants to do. When we don't want to admit and when we don't want to think that there's strongholds holding us down spiritually and keeping us from where we need to be, it's easier to think that God just loves us and won't let anything happen to us. But as a believer, we know that's not true. You cannot serve in a divided kingdom. God's word tells us over and over that we need to get in, that a house divided cannot stand. And it is by the authority of Jesus Christ that these demons were cast out in the name of Jesus. There's no controversy of who's in charge here. Jesus is in charge. Jesus sent them to flight. So how could and why would Satan cast out his own demons? He didn't. He would not. Jesus describes a strong person being overtaken by a stronger person. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Satan is no match for Jesus Christ. And his demons were cast out, and he was detoothed. I love that. He's detoothed. When you stop and think of all the scriptures in 1 Peter 5:8, when he talks about a roaring lion, he says, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." All he is making noise. All he is trying to cause a believer to stumble. Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and he will try to imitate the things of God, but he will try to twist them and take us out of focus. Victory comes when we realize that we need to change our way of thinking to the way of the Lord, and we get grounded in the things of God. Amen. Wouldn't this world be better? Wouldn't the church be stronger? Wouldn't our lives be where God wants us to be? See, this is an illustration. It's not mine. It's a good one. I wish I would have thought of it. But you want to make a chocolate cake. Made everybody hungry, didn't I? You want to make a chocolate cake, but you grab the pancake mix. No matter how bad you want a chocolate cake, it ain't happening. It's not happening because you've grabbed the wrong ingredients. See, even though some of us have the right intent, we want to make chocolate cake, we grab the wrong ingredients. So a right intent isn't enough. We need the right ingredients. And success comes from having the right mindset and using the right ingredients to get the desired end. Amen? Whatever has a strong guide your life. Say amen to that. Whatever has a stronghold on you, whether it be the Lord or struggles in our life, whatever has a stronghold on you will guide your life. So back to the text here in chapter 10, verse 3 to 6. And I won't take the time to read that again. We're running a little short of time. But you can see we're fighting a spiritual battle. And that we can't do these things without the Lord. We can try, but we need the Lord to intervene. We are needing the weapons that are not carnal. The Bible says that we need weapons that are not carnal, but mighty in what? In the Lord. To handle these things that are going on in our lives, God's weapons bring down strongholds. Say amen to that. God's weapons are the things that bring down strongholds. Divine power is what demolishes those strongholds, not only releases, but destroys them. Here's what the Message Bible says and caught my attention again this week. The world is unprincipled. It is dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or battle that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. They are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Now that is good stuff. that will cause us to bring every thought, every image, every action that goes against the things of God and bring them under the captivity of Christ and allow us to walk and be where we need to be. He desires to break the pattern of bad thinking. A negative person, you ever meet a negative person? They talk so negative. How did they get there? Because they've talked negative, they never bring positive in, and everything they dwell on is negative, and so that the only thing that comes out of their mouth is negative. You know that person. That's the person that you're usually running away from, because you can only take so much of that. And what needs to change? That negative person has to start thinking of positive things. That negative person has to start thinking of things of Christ rather than the things that they're going through and constantly thinking about. There has to be a breakaway. There has to be a change. There has to be a decision that you don't want to live there anymore. How many say amen? You don't want to live there anymore. You don't want to live there anymore. You don't want to live there anymore. And you will do everything possible, and you will bring that back to the Lord. If the Lord had to pray three different times when he went out into the journey, the devil tried to tempt him three different times in three different ways, and each time he shared the word of God. If Jesus had to do it, how many times do we have to do it sometimes? Each time that it comes back, I'm not going to live there. This is not where I want to be. This is not how I want to act. This is not the things that I want to do. I want the Lord to break this stronghold and change my pattern of thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I love this. This isn't mine either. In the words of fear, it says, false expectation of appearing real. Fear is false expectations appearing real. Let me give you an illustration closer to home. I didn't ask permission, but I think I'll be all right. My wife is obsessed with stink bugs. She can spot them from a mile away. I don't know how many times I have looked at her, and all she will do is go. And it's my job to go get him. It is my job to destroy him. And I realize that stink bugs look like armor ready to destroy you, but I'm pretty sure that even though they look prehistoric, they can't hurt you. But
wonder. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So I'm asking you these last few minutes of this time that we're together, is I'm asking you, do you want the stronghold out of your life?
Amen.
You can say yes, but if you're not determined and you're not admitting that you can't do this in your own, because it's more than wishful thinking. How many have had wishful thinking? And sometimes that is not going to take you far enough. It's by identifying the stronghold. It's about asking the Lord to take it out of your life and to remove it in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. We sang all this on Blessed Be the Name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Well, you're asking the Lord to take these things out of your life. And if you stumble and fall, get back up, then you're asking Him to do it again. It's about those thoughts, it's about those actions, it's about those images that we cast in ourselves that need to come down in the name of Jesus. It's about claiming the ownership of Christ, it's about cleaning out your closet, it's about not letting the devil steal what the Lord has given you. It's not about manipulation. I can stand up here and talk a good sense here. It's not about manipulation, it's about the pure power of Jesus Christ doing something exciting in your life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And allow Him to do it. If you want that this morning, then I just want us to have a time of prayer. And a time that we need to bring these things down. Say amen to that. We need to bring these things down. There ought to be a safe place that you can say, Lord, there's these things in my life and I desire them to be out of my life. Lord, there's negativity there, and I don't want to live there anymore. And I don't want to be that person that most people want to run away from because everything I say is negative. But I want God to bring some things down in my life. Is that you this morning? If it is, I'm just going to ask you to just bow our heads. Ask the Lord to do some things. And here's the thing. If you want me to pray with you this morning about a stronghold or several strongholds in your life, you can just raise your hands for a second. See your hand? Yep. Amen. Anybody else before we go to prayer? Father, I'm asking because I realize that even the time of praying over a stronghold begins the spiritual battle. I'm asking, Lord God, for every single person that raised their hand. I'm asking for every single person that wishes now they would have raised their hand to bring down a stronghold in your life. First of all, Lord God, I'm asking you to, in your divine way, speak right to the issue, bring it to their attention. This is the stronghold that I desire to bring down in your life. That, Lord God, if they receive it and see it, that they identify it and acknowledge it and bring it to you, Lord God, asking you to bring it down. Whatever it looks like, whatever it is, I'm asking, Lord God, that you would intervene, that you would give them victory over it. If it's a habit, if it's gossip, if it's negativity, if it's commitment, if it's obedience, whatever it is, Lord God, I'm asking for you to directly identify it and point and give them victory, Lord God. And they would be willing to let go of it. I look forward in the days to come for a testimony of your goodness. Whether we say or identify what it is exactly or not, but that we would see testimonies and victories of the Lord took some things out of my life. And ask you, Lord God, that you would do that. May we not be too proud to admit there's strongholds in our life. May we not admit that there are some things that are destructive that hurts, so that we could live the abundant life, live the life that you intended for us in victory. And may we not forget who has given us that victory and share it and acknowledge it. And we're going to give you honor and we're going to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.